Okay, so in this episode, I'm going to be just talking about common human behaviors that are often misunderstood. And this was inspired by a Quora question, like so many of my episodes have been in the past. So hopefully these kinds of episodes have been helpful. I don't know to what extent they have been, but I like doing them. So anyway, several human factors and behaviors are frequently misunderstood due to cultural, psychological, or societal factors, be they real or imagined. So I'm going to go over a few of these. The big one that's relevant to me is introversion. Very often misunderstood and sometimes maligned. So introverted individuals often get misunderstood as being shy or antisocial due to the extroverted ideal, the idea that, if you're not an extrovert, you're antisocial, you must hate people, or you must be shy or just have weak social skills or whatever. But really, there are plenty of introverts who can still thrive in society in numerous ways. And there are really degrees of being introverted too. Like for some people, it really is sort of a debilitating thing. Others just have like mild introversion or whatever. And it's also circumstantial. And there are definitely steps people can take to ease the problems that stem from it, the whole introversion versus extroversion clash. So introversion is more about how one gains energy a lot of the time. It's almost like a stereotypical thing to say, but it's about whether somebody prefers solitary activities or small group interactions rather than a dislike for socializing altogether. So you might want to ask, why don't introverts like socializing? Well, it's not like they never do, of course. Sometimes they do. Sometimes you might find an introvert who really likes to socialize. It's a thing that happens. And introverts often prefer solitary activities or small gatherings over large social events for several reasons. SimplyPsychology.org notes, extroverts' strong suits lie in their ability to be outgoing and interactive with the outside world. This social and bubbly personality is helpful for them in cases like job opportunities and meeting new individuals. However, and this is where they note some actual weaknesses to extroverts at times. But anyway, they say, however, extroverts also crave new adventures and are impulsive. Well, probably not all the time, but sometimes anyway. And their impulsivity can lead to behavior that some studies show to be linked with lower rational decision-making styles. You can interpret that to mean a lot of different things, but basically just risky behavior, I suppose. And the studies have highlighted how extroverts may not make the best choices and are left to deal with the consequences of those actions. So, in a lot of cases, introverts are people who try to be less impulsive. They actually make an effort to avoid it, and they find that social situations, they might in some ways bog them down. And drag them down to a lower level than they were at before. I know it's not like they always believe that, it's a thing that's relative to situation, but it's often a way of just playing it on the safe side. And of course, as I mentioned before, they can recharge through solitude. So introverts tend to feel energized by spending time alone or in small groups where they can reflect, recharge and focus on their own thoughts and interests. And, socializing in larger groups can be draining for them requiring more energy to navigate social interactions. You know, some people have called this the social battery thing, which is, you know, it sounds kind of wacky and quirky, but it kind of is a real thing at the same time. You know, it's not a literal battery, but, you know, you need to take some time away from people. I think even if you're not an introvert, you know, that's why people go on vacations and such. So introverts also have a preference for deep connections. They typically prefer meaningful one-on-one conversations or small group discussions where they can delve into deeper topics rather than engage in superficial small talk that often dominates larger social gatherings. You know, they probably still want to be included in a fair amount of things, but just under certain circumstances. And of course, this is another one. Introverts, they may have sensitivity to stimuli. They may be more sensitive to external stimuli, such as noise and crowds, which can be overwhelming in social settings. If you've ever met a person who complains about having anxiety, they might have trouble, you know, like even going into a bar or something like that. And, you know, sure enough, I'm not a big fan of bars myself. I also don't drink, so I don't have much reason to go into bars. I suppose if I really wanted to hook up with somebody, I'd be better off if I went to the bars frequently. But you know what? It's kind of not worth it for me to get some strange, as the saying goes. I'd kind of prefer to be alone than, like, being in a social environment like that. Also, just don't like being around drunks that much, to be honest. And so that's one reason why I don't go to bars. That's just me speaking about my own preferences, you know. I'm more of a solitary creature, you might say. And, you know, what can you say? They may feel more comfortable and at ease in quieter, less stimulating environments. So they may also have a reflective nature. Introverts often have a reflective and introspective nature, preferring to process their thoughts internally before sharing them with others. And, you know, I can relate to that one because that's how I try to do things. You know, it's not like I never say the wrong things or do the wrong things in my entire life. You know, I mean, we all make mistakes. But over the years, I've learned that, trying to be cautious in who I hang around with and the things that I say is often a good idea. Again, it's not like I never make a mistake. I've probably said the wrong thing on this podcast plenty of times. But, you know, it just makes sense to try to proceed with caution when it comes to any sort of social situation because, you know, more people equals more problems a lot of the time. And, you know, I kind of hate to say that because it makes me sound like I'm a people basher, but it's often enough true, you know. You put enough people in a group and it kind of, in a lot of circumstances, increases the odds of something going awry. And, you know, for me, this inclination towards introspection, I think it has led me to seek out quieter environments where I can focus on my own thoughts without external distractions. And, you know, it's not like I never, you know, go to louder environments. I've been to concerts, you know, I sometimes crank my music up loud, but at the end of the day, I prefer, you know, quietness. And, you know, you can prefer meaningful connections. Introverts tend to prioritize quality over quantity in their social interactions. They're more likely to be all peopled out, as I'm sure you might imagine. So obviously this episode so far has become more about introverts, but I'm going to delve into other things later on, other behavior that may be misunderstood. But this is the big one that kind of relates to me. So introverts may have a smaller circle of close friends whom they value deeply, rather than a large network of acquaintances. And this has actually been called the Dunbar's number, when it comes down to it. The Oxford evolutionary psychologist Robin Dunbar, he's known for his namesake, the Dunbar's number, and he defines it as the number of stable relationships people are cognitively able to maintain at once. And I, from what I understand, he said that the number is 150. Now, I don't know how that number was arrived at, because I've frankly never read his research, but, you know, I've heard of the Dunbar number before, and that's what it means, I guess. And introverts prefer to invest their time and energy in building and nurturing meaningful relationships rather than spreading themselves thin across many social engagements. The grammar Nazis might point out that I said across right there. And what's funny is I normally don't make that mistake when I'm talking, so that was like a special occasion. I normally don't say across when I say the word cross. But anyway, one thing I want to say is that introversion is a personality trait and not necessarily a flaw or something that needs fixing. Although, like anything, you know, it can go to extremes where maybe, you know, it does become a problem, you know. I know you can't wave a magic wand and make everybody fit social ideals, but, you know, every once in a while, if you've got a certain personality type, I think you need to occasionally go out of your comfort zone and experience a different sort of environment, you know? And introverts, they should test themselves occasionally. And like anybody else, you know, have a bit of introspection. And, you know, try to understand if you're, you know, maybe in need of some work. Maybe you do need some fixing. You know, that's not just true of introverts, but everybody, right? So, of course, introverts can and do enjoy socializing. As I've said before, I do want to emphasize that. But they may do so in moderation and in ways that align with their preferences and comfort levels. You know, if they're kind of forced to be social animals more than they're typically used to, they can lose energy. And that's not going to be good for them. You know, it's a weird situation sometimes. And, you know, I kind of want to say the opposite thing here, too. Like, if you're an extrovert, maybe sometimes, you know, you want to put the socializing away a little bit more and spend a little bit of time to yourself, you know, pondering things and trying to understand, you know, your own thoughts and your own ideas and, you know, maybe be a little bit more introspective. Not that extroverts are never introspective, of course, that's not what I'm saying, but, you know, you might want to be a little bit more to yourself at times. Just that's something you also might want to give a try, you know. So I'm going to finally get off the topic of introversion, and I'm going to talk about procrastination. You know, I've got a few thoughts on that too. So procrastination is often seen as laziness or poor time management, but it can be a complex behavior rooted in fear of failure, perfectionism, or difficulty in a task situation. So it's not always, you know, just purely based on weakness or whatever. There can be a reason for it that's, you know, not just being lazy, right? It's not merely a matter of lacking discipline or wasting your time or whatever. So, I mean, that's something people out there might want to think about. And if you really, I guess it's one of those things where if you demonize people who procrastinate, or, you know, like, do nothing but make fun of them, are you really going to help them ultimately? Probably not, right? You want to inspire them to be their best selves, so to speak, for lack of a better word. And then, you know, this is another thing that I've mentioned before, but I kind of want to address it again. Body language, misinterpreting that is pretty common. So people may misread signs of discomfort as disinterest, or misinterpret crossed arms as defensiveness, when in reality they could indicate a variety of emotions or physical states. You know, maybe they're fine. Maybe they're not really trying to give off any sort of message. Maybe it's just physically comfortable, you know, like to stand a certain way. And as I've said before, you know, like if you're seeing somebody who's sweating or something, it might not be because they're nervous, or if they appear nervous, it might not be because they're guilty of anything, or it might not even be because they're shy around people or anything like that. Maybe it's, you know, part of some different situation, you know, like maybe there's some other explanation for it. You know, people sweat for a wide variety of reasons, you know, a nervous twitch or something like that. Maybe that's a normal thing for somebody. They have it all the time. It might not really be related to a certain situation. Or like I've said before, if people fail to emote, you know, it doesn't mean they completely lack emotions. It doesn't mean they're monsters. It doesn't mean they're not sad at a funeral or something like that. It just means, you know, maybe they're not that emotionally expressive. You know, like sometimes people, they're in a state of shock even, so they don't really express that much emotion. So another thing, you know, when it comes to things that are misunderstood, of course, humor is a big one. Sense of humor varies greatly among individuals and cultures. You know, for example, Taoism regards humor as an attempt of having witty, peaceful, and harmonious interactions with nature. So, you know, that's one example of humor having a different meaning. What one person finds hilarious, another may not understand or even find offensive. And boy, haven't we found that out, you know, like with a lot of stuff. You know, I mean, conservatives like to point out how, you know, left-wingers are so easily offended, but, you know, try making fun of a right-winger's religion or something like that, or, you know, the military or any number of things. You know, a lot of people aren't going to take too kindly to that. And misunderstandings and humor can lead to conflicts or awkward situations. And, you know, another misunderstood thing is crying. Crying is often associated with sadness, but it can also be a response to different emotions, including joy, frustration, or even relief. Assuming that someone is always sad when they cry oversimplifies the complexity of human emotions. And hell, you know, there are times where I'm going into a gas station that I live near, and I actually have, it's happened more than once where I had some, like, tears in my eyes. And it wasn't because I was sad or overjoyed or anything like that. It's because I have dry eyes, you know? So sometimes even crying can just be happening for other reasons than, you know, some sort of tragic event or anything like that. Aggression can also be misunderstood. It's sometimes seen as a sign of strength or dominance. However, it can also stem from insecurity, fear, or a lack of effective communication skills. You know, and sometimes it can be sort of just a bullying thing, you know, like rather than a strong thing. Like, think about the childhood bully who's like bossing other kids around on the playground, stealing their lunch money, or, you know, threatening violence, or in some cases, you know, actually doing the violence. You know, that's not always a sign of strength. You know, it can be a sign of weakness. And, well, silence is another thing, you know, just being quiet. silence in conversation is sometimes perceived as awkward or uncomfortable, leading to misunderstandings. However, silence can also be a sign of reflection, comfort, or respect for a speaker. You know, like, you might just be not having much to say, like, maybe nothing's even registering in your brain. You know, sometimes you just don't have a response to something, and it might not really necessarily mean anything that much, you know? But of course, if you're quiet in certain situations, people will make a lot of assumptions. They'll sort of fill in the blanks. They'll connect the dots in ways that maybe don't really solve a puzzle, but actually just complicate things further. You know, you might be creating a puzzle out of thin air where there might not be one. And it's one of those annoying things about life and communication, right? So, you know, hopefully this was a halfway decent episode where I talked about these things. And understanding such behaviors more deeply can lead to better communication and empathy in your relationship. So hopefully you find this episode valuable. I hope you listen to some of my other stuff. And yeah, that's about it. Have a nice day, I guess. All right. Bye-bye.